Thompson versus Millard Public School District. Ms. Schiffer-Miller, good morning to you, and our apologies for all of the cross-traffic, but that's part of progress, I believe. So with that, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. I'm Joy Schiffer-Miller. I'm here on behalf of Kim Thompson on this case, who filed her own action in the District Court of Douglas County, Nebraska, alleging, among other things, discrimination in her employment as the project manager of Millard Public Schools. In this case, I entered an appearance on behalf of Ms. Thompson fairly close to the time that there was a motion for summary judgment filed by the defendants in this case on the original discrimination claims. And the discrimination was alleged to be on the basis of her gender and also on the basis of her disclosed disability being post-traumatic stress disorder. At the hearing on the motion for summary judgment, as I was explaining to the court Ms. Thompson's position, I explained to the court that in December, before Ms. Thompson was later let go the following July, there was a gentleman hired to fill her position that we maintain that they hired him and in an attempt to get rid of her on the basis of her gender. And as I was explaining to him that this comparator, who was later to take over her position, was a gentleman by the name of Steve Minnelli, the judge interrupted counsel and said, I think I should disclose to you both that Mr. Minnelli is my brother-in-law, and you need to disclose that to your clients and advise me of their position on it. And of course, I did disclose that to my client. My client did ask that Judge Battalion recuse himself in this case, and Judge Battalion declined to recuse himself.
Counsel, this disqualification issue pertains only to one claim, the equal pay claim?
Your Honor, I disagree. It applies to both claims.
How does it fit into any of the other claims?
Mr. Medelli was the comparator that was hired for this position that we say was the person who actually took over the job that Ms. Thompson was let go from. And so he also is there for the discrimination claims. And actually, when we were arguing the case, the motions that were filed were discrimination claim motions for summary judgment on her discrimination claims. We did not even discover until after that point that not only did we believe that they hired him in an attempt to have a man in the position, and a man without post-traumatic stress disorder, I might add. We also then later learned that when he was hired, he was paid about $10,000 more than Ms. Thompson was paid. And so then after that, we also filed the Equal Pay Act claim. So
is Mr. Minnelli a necessary witness in the discrimination case?
He had been listed as a witness by the plaintiff in this case, and I would submit that he is a witness in the claim.
Is a witness or a necessary witness?
Well, I think the parties determine who the witnesses are. We had named him as a witness.
What material evidence would he have provided?
He would have provided the evidence about when he was hired, the interview process, and why they indicated that they were hiring.
Can you get that from other sources?
Well, you can get those from other sources, but they'll be discussing hearsay, basically, in order to give that information. Because they discuss his qualifications, so you're still talking about the same man that was hired in the position.
They can give reasons why they hired him without being hearsay, can't they? It's what they form their opinion. It's not the truth of the matter asserted.
Well, I think that he would be a necessary witness in order to check and see. I mean, first of all, Ms. Thompson was the only project manager at the time that they decided to hire Mr. Minnelli. And there is evidence that was presented by Millard Public Schools to say, well, we decided that we were going to reach out. I understood that he may be looking for a position, and I knew that Mr. Rodwell, I think is his name, was going to be stepping down, and we might have somebody that would go into the position. And so Ms. Thompson had indicated that she previously was being considered for that promotion, as it were.
Was there evidence that she was being considered for that promotion?
There is evidence that she was being considered for that promotion through her evaluation. It talks about her reaching the next level. She also discussed her discussions with Mr. Rockwell. Getting his name wrong.
I think it's Rockwell.
I think it's Rockwell.
Is your argument for recusal predicated on Mr. Minnelli being a witness, or that the judge would necessarily have to consider his qualifications and abilities in order to do the analysis required by the Equal Pay Act claim?
I think three things. He's a witness because he's the comparator, and I would say comparators are often called as witnesses in discrimination claims. Secondly, I believe that his interest in his position raises a reasonable question about the judge's impartiality. And furthermore, I think that when you look at the situation where Judge Battalion was tasked with deciding whether or not his brother-in-law was more qualified than my client, that bodes for at least an appearance of impropriety that the judge should have seen right out, and I think he did see right out, which is why he asked us to advise our clients of his relationship. And when I did so and actually reflected upon it, it was clear to me that he should recuse himself, and that's what my client asked me to do. And so I asked for his recusal.
Do we review this as an abuse of discretion?
I submit that you do not review this as an abuse of discretion. I think the Tierney case, Tierney versus 4-H Land Company, sets out a bright line rule. It's 281 Nebraska 658. And I think that you review it on the record objectively, and find that the judge must recuse himself if the judge's impartiality might reasonably be questioned. And I think when you're talking about the qualifications of your brother-in-law versus the litigant standing in front of you, I think there's no question but what it would be questioned.
But do the qualifications go to the discrimination or the equal pay?
Both. Because in the discrimination case, as I indicated, he is a comparator. She was the only project manager at the time. And so they hired him and put him in that position. And then after they dismissed her or asked her to step down from that position, he remains the only project manager. So I think that with respect to the entire case, the problem with the judge not recusing himself, and I submit that there's plenty of evidence to indicate that there was a dispute as to material fact on both issues.
Let me ask, assuming that we were to throw in with you on the recusal issue,
right.
There were claims that were disposed of out of the original complaint that I think are dead and wouldn't be affected either way by this recusal claim. Do you agree?
I have to agree with that, Judge. And I don't believe at that time, Judge, my client had filed those original claims, and I agree that they were all properly dismissed. Those claims are not coming back. But the discrimination claim and the Equal Pay Act claim should be remanded. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kosaki, good morning to you.
Good morning. Your Honors.
May it please the court, my name is Keith Kosaki, and I represent the Millard Public School District. And on behalf of the district, I would respectfully submit that the district court's decision here is correct and should be affirmed. The motions for recusal were properly denied in this case because there's no abuse of discretion, which would be the standard of review on those recusal motions.
What is your response to Ms. Schiffer-Miller's argument that abuse of discretion is not the proper standard of review?
On the motion itself, abuse of discretion is the proper standard. If you find that recusal should have happened but didn't happen, then you dive into that the Liljeburg analysis from the Tierney case, and that's where the decision is, well, do we have to vacate the decisions that have already been made, or is there under those three factors that they of the Liljeburg test, can those decisions survive? So abuse of discretion would apply to the motions themselves, but if you were to find that recusal should have happened but didn't, then when you examine the underlying decisions, then Liljeburg would come in.
Thank you.
And to start with the recusal motions, these issues arose when the Equal Pay Act came into play. The discrimination cases that were pled in the second amended complaint had nothing to do with Mr. Minnelli, because first of all, he's not a party to this case. He's not an officer of the district. He's not a managing member. He's just one of 3,000 employees who just happen to have the
but
same.
But he is the judge's brother.
Yes, he is. Yeah, and he has no interest in this case. An adverse decision for or against the district will not impact him at all. There was a discussion about whether he would be a witness in this case. He's not a witness in this case, because on the Equal Pay Act,
what if the plaintiff wants to call him as a witness in this case?
Well, we would object on relevance because he doesn't have any relevant information. On the Equal Pay Act, the Equal Pay Act isn't a statute that invites the court to serve as a super personnel board and to open up all personnel decisions to determine which employee is more deserving or more qualified. The Equal Pay Act is just a statute that says you have to have equal pay for equal work.
I'm trying to follow that argument because Ms. Schiffer-Miller is saying that he's the comparator. So customarily you need two things when you do a comparison. Why isn't he in?
He's not, because he didn't make the decisions to hire himself. He didn't make the decision to set his salary.
It's the facts of his employment that are in rather than himself as a witness. Is that it?
On the Equal Pay Act, yes.
Yeah, under Equal Pay part.
All the court's interested in determining is what's the reason for the difference in pay.
And so even if he's not a witness, doesn't the court have to consider his abilities, his training, his qualifications? I understand not a super personnel department, but there's some comparison between the two employees, is there not?
No, it's not a comparison where you're
What is your understanding of what the court is doing to decide an alleged Equal Pay Act violation?
They're just trying to find out why there's a difference in pay. What's the difference in pay? And the statute specifically allows for differences in pay for any factor other than sex. And the case law is very clear on this, that's a broad catch-all.
What type of factors?
Anything other than sex, professional skills, experience.
And so wouldn't the court then have to evaluate his own brother-in-law's skills, his own brother-in-law's training, his own brother-in-law's qualifications, and can a judge do that without the appearance of impropriety?
No, that's not a necessary analysis, Your Honor. All you're concerned about on an Equal Pay Act claim is what's the reason for the difference. So in this particular case, the evidence is in the record that the reason for the difference is the district considered the market value of Minnelli's skills, or the brother-in-law's skills. Said, okay, we know this person, and he's got more experience, and here's why we set his salary. Those are all non-gender factors. They're completely gender neutral. They didn't take into account anybody else's salary. So you don't have to get into an analysis of, you know, it's not a factor of, well, this guy has 25 years of experience at the satellite office and she's got 10 years of experience at the corporate headquarters. Okay, which one is subjectively better, or are they subjectively equal? It's, he's got 25 years, she's got 10. That's the reason for the difference. It's not sex related. There's no Equal Pay Act claim. And the case law on that is really clear. And the two cases that I think really highlight it are the Eighth Circuit case of Taylor versus White, where the claimant is making similar types of arguments and saying, well, the difference in pay is based on this subjective salary retention statute, and therefore we have to get into this to see if this is a real reason. And the court says, we don't have to get into that. If that's the reason and it's not gender, then the case is over. And the other case that's really good on this is the Wallenberg case from the Seventh Circuit, where again, you had two employees and the employer saying, well, the male employee is making more because he's got more experience. And the female employee says, well, wait a minute, his experience is unrelated, but I have his management experience, I think, was in production. And this was in grocery, excuse me. The male managed the meat department in a grocery store. This was an industrial production company. And this other employee had a management experience, I think, with the Mary Maids service. And she's saying, well, I've got management experience too. And the court says, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whose is better. He's got more. That's the reason for the difference. That's not gender. The Equal Pay Act is done. So when you apply this to the recusal, the district court judge doesn't have to get into that subjective comparison. All he's looking at is, okay, is the difference in pay for a reason other than sex? And we would submit that in this case, the evidence is clear. You have the affidavit from the district superintendent. It says, here's the process I went through in hiring Minnelli. Now, there's been some talk about that the district in December somehow started plotting to get rid of the appellant and replace her with Mr. Minnelli, and that's just not supported by the record. The appellant always had good, had satisfactory performance reviews. Her supervisor in his deposition says, we had no plans to get rid of her. But everything changed in July of 2014 when we get this parental complaint that's about her behavior. And then when we conduct the subsequent investigation, we find that there's instances of unprofessional behavior and insubordination. And that's the reason why her employment was terminated. And as to why that her position wasn't replaced, again, it's in the record. The superintendent says we had to cut $1 million from the budget for the upcoming fiscal year, so we just didn't. That's why we didn't replace her. Again, when you look at the recusal motions, again, the district court just doesn't have to do the type of subjective analysis that the appellate would like to perform. And when it gets right down to it, the brother-in-law, he's only one of 3,000 employees. A favorable decision for the district on the equal pay claim won't affect him, or a negative one won't affect him. He doesn't have any interest in the case. He's not a party to the case. He didn't make any decisions as far as the appellant's employment, so to discipline her, to terminate her. So he's not involved. He just doesn't have any relevant information.
If you were going to help us write a decision upholding your view on that at the level that we could explain this to the average citizen on the street, how would we write it?
Well, at the risk of being redundant, I think you'd write it by saying he's one of 3,000 employees. He's not a managing member of the district. He's not an officer. He's not a director. He has no interest in the case. He doesn't benefit by a negative or a positive decision. And he doesn't have any information. He doesn't know anything about the appellant's employment. Because he was not privy to it. He didn't make any decisions on the equal pay claim he didn't make the decision to hire himself. He submitted a resume. And he didn't set his salary. And all that evidence is before you. In the record with the affidavits that they've submitted.
Your comment assumes that all of this is objective. This is this robot versus that robot.
Yes, and that's, for lack of a better term, I think that's exactly the way Congress set this up when they did the Equal Pay Act. We're eliminating differences in pay based on gender, but you can reward, and I see my time's up, but there's an argument here about the market forces theory. Well, market forces takes advantage. You know, women will work for less, men won't. So that's why there's a difference. And that's not permitted by the Act. But the Act still allows employers to consider the marketplace value of the individual employee. You can look at his skills. You can look at his experience. And if you rely on those things, those aren't gender. So that's permitted by the Act.
But can a judge look at the skill? You mentioned skills and you mentioned experience. And can a judge evaluate the skills and experience of their family member without an appearance of impropriety?
Well, he's not evaluating it. He's just, what do you rely on? Why'd you make this decision? He's not looking behind the decision. So, yes, a judge could do it. So, in closing, I would respectfully ask that you affirm the district court's decision below in all respects. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 46 seconds, Ms. Schiffer-Miller. We'll give you a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe that the defendants also did, the court erred in applying the prohibited market forces theory. When you look at the case of Drum versus Leeson Electric Corporation, that is a case right on point with this case, where the defendant was trying to say that this person is more qualified and therefore we hired him and offered him more of a salary. And the Eighth Circuit found that that defense is insufficient as a matter of law because justifying the salary of Mr. Minnelli doesn't justify paying my client, a woman, less than the salary of Mr. Minnelli. And I would submit to you that there has to be a weighing. And if you read the court's opinion in this case, he did a weighing of his brother-in-law's qualifications in this case. The defendants are saying, well, this is not about their relative qualifications, but that's exactly what it came down to when the court made their decision in this case. And we believe that it should be reversed on all grounds and the lower court, it should be reassigned to a different judge for decisions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.